have to apologize that I'm not going to be talking on the parasha, even though I had a shmooze ready on Parashas Noach. From what I've seen, I felt it's important to speak about what Chazal called Dvarim She'imdim Beruma Shel Olam Va'odam Mezalzlim Behen. Things of great importance, of great stature, and people belittle, degrade them. And that's tefillah. Before one could even talk about tefillah, I think there's a preparation, a hachana wants to make for tefillah. So I'd like to talk about five steps that we can do before one davens. There's a story of a person who planned for years to visit Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to see the Mekom HaKadoshim, had never been there. And for years, he saved up and was waiting for this trip. Finally, he went. And when he came back, he went to his Rav and he was telling him how disappointed he was. He complained to the Rav. He didn't feel any Kedusha at all. The Rav asked him, "Did you experience bafuf sticks?" So he said, "I don't know what it is." He says, "I didn't ask you what it is. I asked you if you experienced it." He said, "How can I know if I experienced it if I don't know what it is?" So the Rav said to him, "How can you know if you experience Kedusha if you don't know what it is?" Before one can daven, one has to know what tefillah is. What is tefillah all about? So 2 years ago in my shir, I asked Bochum, "What do you think tefillah is?" And this is the number one step, to know what is tefillah. So I asked him, "What do you think?" So one said, "It's to get, you need something from the Rebbeinu Shloim. It's to get answered, your needs answered." So I said, "That's a very good answer, because if you look in the dictionary, under the definition of prayer, it writes there, an earnest request. The purpose is to make requests." Another said, "Hakoras HaToiv." A third said, "Dveikus." And this is correct. Tefillah is a means to get close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Tefillah is not a genie in a bottle. One rubs the bottle to get one's wishes. The Pasuk says, "Ki mi goy godol asher lo alekim krov meilov, kashem alekeinu b'chol kireinu eilov." We see clearly that Pasuk is telling us that when we call through our tefillahs, we get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Requests and Hakaras HaToiv are ingredients of tefillah, but that is not the definition of tefillah. They are vehicles to bring us closer to Hashem. When Hashem sees a lack of closeness in our tefillah, He can rectify this by Chas V'Shalom giving us something to daven for. The Pasuk writes, "O Paroi Hikriv." Paroi came close to attack Klal Yisrael, and the Medrash explains, what is that Loshna Paroi Hikriv? It doesn't say Paroi came close. Paroi caused somebody else to get close. Hikriv. What it means is, when they saw Paroi coming, Tolu Einehem Lemorim, they looked up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They started davening. Moshel Ma'adav Adayim, says the Medrash. There was a king who heard a princess crying to be saved from a band of robbers. The king rescued her. Later, he wanted to talk to her, and she refused. So the king let the robbers return. When she cried out again, he said, "I wanted to hear your voice again." So the Medrash tells us, in Mitzrayim, the Yidden were crying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But when HaKadosh Baruch Hu took them out, they stopped crying. He was misavel tefillos, the Medrash says. He desired to hear their tefillos. He wanted to hear their cries again. O Paroi Hikriv. So the Medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought Paroi to make sure the Paroi would bring them close. The Emohis were Akoris. They were barren because Hashem was misavel tefillosom. Hashem desired their tefillos. What does that mean? The Emohis didn't daven? Is that possible? Rachel for sure was a Beis Yaakov Meidel. For sure she davened. So what's the Pshat? Pshat is, of course, they davened. But it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu understands, even the greatest of people, that it brings somebody closer when they have a tzara, when they need HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's an opportunity to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends a tzara for this purpose, so we will get even closer. Another way Hashem brings us closer is by bestowing on us gifts. A person can have mishpocha, parnosa, health. Things can go well in life. And this can give us an opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu through gratitude and appreciation. If one is not makir toiv, though, Chas V'Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu can take away what has given us in order to get noticed. There was an uncle who had no children of his own. So he was very close with one of his nephews. And this nephew was mamish like a child to him. But the nephew grew up and he wanted to go and learn Eretz Yisrael. And the uncle was very upset about it. He's not going to be able to have this relationship with him anymore when the nephew is far away. So when he was going, he said to his nephew, please do me a favor. Write to me once a week. And his nephew said to him, what are you talking about? I'll write to you every day. And on the first day when he left, the uncle wrote a letter to his nephew. I miss you already. I can't wait to hear from you. On the second day, on the third day, each day the uncle was writing, waiting for a reply. 3 weeks went by, no response. He still hadn't heard anything from his nephew. So one day the nephew receives a letter. It says, dear nephew, how is yeshiva? You have good chavrusas. How's the food? Love your uncle. P.S. Enclosed, find $250 for yourself. The next week, the uncle received a reply. Dear uncle, I love the yeshiva. Great chavrusas. Food is lousy. Love your nephew. P.S. You forgot to enclose the $250. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgets to enclose, and then that causes us to respond. So the first step before we begin to daven is knowing what is tefillah. Tefillah is dveikus b'Hashem. And like we just went through an el of ani l'doidi v'doidi li, that is also to teach us that lesson. The closer we get to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is how close HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be with us. This leads us to the second step, which is, since my purpose in davening is my relationship with Borei Olam, if all I think about when I'm davening is my own personal needs, that's not a relationship, that's a nudge. My only focus is what I can get out of it. It's a one-sided relationship. The Sfas Emes often davened b'yechidus. And the Hasidim asked him, they said, the tefillahs get answered better when you're davening b'tzibur. The Sfas Emes said, I'm not davening to get my tefillahs answered. He understood the true purpose of tefillah. What is the proper way to daven for one's personal needs? In Shulchan Aruch it writes, Harogil loima, if somebody always says, Asei leman shmecha, Asei leman kedushasecha, Asei leman teresecha, Asei leman minecha, after Shmona Esrei, you're guaranteed you'll get your tefillahs answered. You'll be bekabel at Pnei Hashchina. You're guaranteed Hashem listens. It's amazing. There's mamish in Shulchan Aruch, it tells us clearly, you want your tefillahs answered, a simple formula, Sei lekayin tzor, Sei Asei leman shmecha, and you'll be mekabel Pnei Hashchina. What's the pshat? We see people try it. People say this every time. We don't see all our tefillahs have answered. What does it mean? So let me explain it to you with a story. About a little over 20 years ago, a relative of mine was walking home Rosh Hashanah by night, and he was a hit-and-run driver, knocked him over. Hatzolah came to literally pick up the pieces. They took him to a hospital on Tom's River, and that hospital checked him out, and they said, there's internal bleeding, there's nothing we can do, we're calling it. And Hatzolah said, by us, if there's life, there's hope, there's no such thing as calling it. And they called a helicopter from Pennsylvania, from a trauma unit there, and they took this person to, they took him to Pennsylvania, and he was in a coma, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot. Eventually, after Sukkot, he came round, and he spent a year in hospital, a year with tremendous therapies, operation after operation. But he was able to walk out of the hospital a year later. He was healthy to a certain degree, but again, he limped very badly, and sometimes he would fall because of his limping. Many years later, a few years ago, doctors told him that there's a new operation. If you have this operation, it'll improve your balance, you'll be able to walk. It's a big operation, there's risks involved, it's a major operation, but this will help you tremendously. So he had a shaila, should he do it? So even though he was a satma chassid, he went into Reb Chaim Kanievsky to ask him the shaila. He started explaining the operation to Reb Chaim. Reb Chaim said he doesn't want to hear the details. He asked him, if you have this operation, will you be able to do Kerem Yom Kippur? He said, yes. And can you do Kerem now? He said, no. He said, do the operation then. So we did the operation Baruch Hashem was a great success, and he has done since then at many of his children's weddings. But when he told me this story over, I was always wondering, you should do the operation in order to be able to do Kairim on Yom Kippur. Many people don't do Kairim Yom Kippur. It's a minute, it's not a chiv. There are people who can't do it, so what? Why should that be a reason to do the operation? And then I realized, the reason is obvious. Rabbi Chaim was saying to him, of course you want to do the operation. It'll help you tremendously. You'll feel better. But don't do the operation just for yourself. Think, how can it improve your Avodas Hashem? Have in mind when you're having that operation, I'm doing this in order that I can serve Borei Olam better. And that is what he did. And he was able, Baruch Hashem, to recover. We said, you say Aseh L'man Shmeach after davening, you mekabel pnei Hashchina. It's not as simple as that. The Gemara tells us in Brachas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the Churban, put a barrier that our tefillahs are not always answered. Shari tefillah can be closed. Shari demois, the gates of tears, are never closed. But Shari tefillah are sometimes closed. So what do we do about that? And Chazal tell us as a pasuk, Sachti be'onon me'avoy tefillah. The pasuk in Eichos says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu covered with the cloud to stop the tefillahs getting through. In this week's parasha, it tells us, Eskashti nosati be'onon. I put a rainbow in the clouds. And the Chasam Sofer explains, what does it mean, a rainbow in the clouds? You've got the clouds stopping your tefillah. You want to get your tefillahs through. So in Shulchan Aruch, it tells us that formula, this kashti. Kashti is kedushasecha, shemecha, teresecha, yiminecha. If a person davens, asei leman kedushasecha, like the Shulchan Aruch said, you daven leman shemecha, leman kedushasecha, your tefillahs will get answered. What it means is, when a person does daven Shemoneh Esrei, he's asked all his personal requests, his daven for refuas, yeshuas, his daven to have parnosa, his daven for all his personal needs. So it's telling you at the end, you have to say, Asei Leman Shmecha, but not say it. You have to mean it. Why do I want these requests? I want all these things because I'll be able to serve you better. It's Leman Shmecha, it's your sake. Leman Tushasecha, it's Leman Tushasecha, I'll be able to learn better. If a person davens and he has in mind, they'll be able to be Eved Hashem better. If Hashem grants his requests, that's when he is guaranteed they'll be Mekabel Pnei Hashchina. When Klai Yisrael went into Golos, the Pasuk says, Al Nares Bovel, Shom Yoshavnu, Gam Bochinu. We sat and we cried there, Gam Bochinu, we also cried. What is this word, Gam? So the Medrash in last week's parasha tells us that when the Ribbono Shel Olam created the waters, and he divided the waters into the upper waters and the lower waters, the lower waters complained, we want to get closer to Ribbono Shel Olam. It's not fair. The upper waters are close to Hashem, and we're so far away. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mefayis them. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told the waters, don't worry. There's going to be a Beis HaMikdash. And on the Beis HaMikdash, in the Beis HaMikdash, there's going to be Nisach HaMayim and Sukkos. There's going to be salt on every carbon that comes from the waters. You'll be able to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But that was only as long as there was a Beis HaMikdash. When the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, the waters lost their Kedusha. And the waters were crying, just like they cried when they were created. They cried, they want to get close to Hashem. Again, they were crying, they want to be close to Hashem. Al Naris Bavel, we sat, Al Naris Bavel. Shom Yoshavnu, we sat there, Gam Bochinu. We also cried. The water was crying, and we cried too. We have lost our closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now the Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. And that is why the Pasuk in Eicha tells us, Shivchi Kamayim Libeich. Cry, you should cry like the waters cry. What do the waters cry? We want it closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is how our cry has to be. That's how our tefillahs have to be, that we're going to want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I'll show you clearly how this helps. You can understand it logically. There was a governor of a big country, and he had a construction supply company. He was very wealthy, this governor. And there was a young orphan who he raised. And when he raised this orphan, he wanted to train him to have a parnasa. So he trained him in construction. He had him trained to be able to build buildings. And this orphan went into business and he became very successful. He's one of the biggest builders in the country. One day, he comes over to the governor, and he says to him, "Everything I have is because of you, all of my success. So I want to repay you something. I want to give you a present. I see how you live, the mansion you live in. I want to build you a new palace. I'm going to build you a most unbelievable, magnificent palace." So the governor said, "I'm very thankful to you, and I'll accept your offer. But one thing I ask of you, you don't have to buy your supplies. I have a construction supply company. Your workers can come and pick up the supplies. You don't have to pay for them." He said, "Okay." And every day his workers would go to this warehouse and they would pick up the supplies. And the other people were standing there, couldn't understand it. Because normally you have to wait in a long line to get your supplies. And normally you would have to pay cash. And they saw these workers arrive and they would go to the front of the line and they would get whatever they wanted without paying at all. And they couldn't understand, what's the difference? Why are they getting such good service? Why can't we have service like this? Until they found out that his building, these workers are building for the governor. They're building for him, so of course they go first. Of course they don't have to pay. The Ribbono Shel Olam, he has a supply company. In his supply company, he has tremendous things there that people need in life. He has gezunt, he has health, he has parnosa, he has nachas, he has happiness, whatever you need in life. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has. And in this supply company, if you're building for the sake of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you can be guaranteed you'll receive your supplies right away. You'll be mekabel panei hashchina. So step two in preparation for davening is, even when one's davening for one's personal needs, it must be for the sake of Borei Olam. Step three, Chazal tell us, Chasidim harishonim, they would wait an hour before davening. They would prepare for themselves. And this is paskened in Shulchan Aruch. The Mishnah Berurah says there that that's for Hasidim. But everyone at least should spend at least a few moments to prepare for davening. Hachana is necessary in order for tefillah to reach its full potential. Sitting around in the classrooms, schmoozing there, is not a hachana for tefillah. When Yaakov woke up from his dream, he said, "Ochein yesh Hashem b'bokom hazeh." Surely Hashem is in this place. V'noichi lo yadati, I didn't realize it. And the Alshich asks, how is it possible? There's many stories, both of Litvish G'dolim, of Rebbes who were able to detect Kedusha in certain places. There's stories of the Chaznish who once said there were Bochrim who were talking and learning in this area earlier on today. He could shmek, he could tell. Many stories like that. And Yaakov Avinu wasn't able to tell. He couldn't feel the Kedusha. The Alshich answers, since there was no hachana, there was no preparation. Without hachana, it's not possible to feel. What is the hachana? One has to focus on HaKadosh Baruch Hu and leave the rest of your life on hold. Not to think of everything else that's happening in your life. Not of tests in the secular department. Not of sports games that are taking place. Not of anything, whether it's business matters. Other people think about carpools they're worried about, bills they have. Only thing to focus on is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When Moshe went up to Har Sinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him, go up there for 40 days, Ve'heyesham, and be there. What does it mean, and be there? Rashi has difficulty with those words. And Rashi says the Pshat. What does Hashem mean, be there? Of course, if you go up there, you're there. So the Pshat is, we can understand it. With a story, there was a famous tzaddik, Rabbi Cheskel Mikuzmir. And he had one of his chassidim who hadn't been to visit the Rebbe for a long time. So one day, this chassid of his, he had a business trip, and he knew on Sunday morning, this business deal that he has to do on a Sunday morning is not that far from the Rebbe. So he realized he could stay by the Rebbe for Shabbos, and then if he leaves early Sunday morning, he'll make it in time for his business trip. So he decides he'll go to the Rebbe for Shabbos. On Thursday night, he arrives by the Rebbe, he didn't want to travel Friday, he comes into the Rebbe, the Rebbe gives him shalom, gives him a bracha, and the Rebbe tells him he should have a safe trip home. He says, but I came to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. He says, no, it's better if you go home for Shabbos. He says, what do you mean? I'm waiting so long, I want to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe. He says it's much better if you go home. And on Shabbos, you'll be thinking how wonderful it would have been to spend Shabbos with the Rebbe, rather than be over here for Shabbos and be thinking about your business trip on Sunday. A person is, the Baal Shem Tov says, is where his mind is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling Moshe, you're coming up to Shemayim, the Heyesham. You've got to be there. Focus on one thing when you're up here. Focus on the Torah. You can't start thinking about Klal Yisrael when you're up here. Nothing else to think about. The Heyesham. Tefillah should be an experience. Shulchan Aruch describes how much of an experience. Anshei Maisa, Hoy Misboyedin, Umechavnim B'Tefillasom. They would be misboyed on their tefillah, Ad Shemigin, until they would reach Lispashtas Hagashmias. They would leave their physical selves. They would be totally focused on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or Megian Korov Lamala Nevoah, and get close to Nevoah. Why does it write this in Shulchan Aruch? It's writing this for us. That even we can't reach that Madrega. But it's teaching how much one has to focus. That's experiencing Tefillah. The Chavetz Chaim asked Rav Shimon Schwab that the mon tasted according to what a person wanted it to taste like. What happened if somebody didn't think anything? What did it taste like? And when he didn't answer, the Chavetz Chaim told him, Oibman trachtis nisht hadisken tam nisht. If you don't think, it won't have a taste. Meaning that mon is a davar ruchni. And by all ruchnias, without focus, without caring, without feeling, it won't have any meaning at all. It has no tam. Ruchnias needs effort. The heyesham. You've got to be there. There was a person who received a letter from the IRS asking him some questions and told him they'd like to have a meeting with him to answer these questions. And he didn't know what he's going to answer these questions. He goes to his Rav's house and he asks his Rav, what am I going to do? They're going to ask me these questions. So he tells over to the Rav the question. The Rav says, that's no problem. This is what you answer them. The man is so happy. The Rav is so smart. He's got good answers. He'll be able to answer the IRS questions. And he goes back home. 2 hours later, he's back by the Rav's door. Rav asks, what is it? He says, those terutzim you told me to those questions, I have a kasha on your answers. The Rav says, tell me. That's a good kasha, he says. The Rav thinks about it, and he tells him an answer. He says, wow, Moridin, it's a beautiful answer, he says. He goes back home, is satisfied. 2 hours later, again, there's a knock at the Rav's door. He says, what is it? He says, the terutz you told me to the kasha that I had, I've got a kasha on your terutz. He says, tell it to me. He tells him over. He says, whoa, that's a question. Amazing, he says. When did you think of this kasha? I thought of it. I want to know when. It's a little uncomfortable. He says, no, tell me when you thought of it. Tell you the truth, I thought of it while I was davening Shemoneh Esrei. The Rav said, I thought so. You don't have to worry. Goyim don't daven Shemoneh Esrei. It's amazing what clarity we have when we're davening. Everything goes so smoothly. We can think of everything except for Shemoneh Esrei. We have to mekayim what it says in Shulchan Aruch. V'yachshoiv kilu shchina kenegdoi. You have to imagine the Ribbono Shel'Olam is standing in front of you. V'yoseh kol machshavas ha'terudasoisoi. And remove any thoughts that are bothering you. Ad shetishai kavanosoi. Zachar b'tfilah. Until your thoughts are purely for tefillah. In Tamei HaMinhagim, it brings down a story of somebody called Rav Moshe Galanter. And this Rav Moshe Galanter, he knew the seven chachmas of the world. A gon olam he was. A tzaddik v'chosid. In the town where he lived was a goy who had one mila over him, a Yishmaeli. This goy would daven for sick people. And he could tell the sick people if they would live or if they would die. And Rav Moshe wanted to know, how can a goy do this? How is it possible? And he managed to arrange a meeting with this goy. And this goy, he asked him, they were talking, and the goy saw that he knows things that he doesn't know. And he said to the goy, said to him, of the Shiva Chachmas, the seven Chachmas in the world, one of them are missing. Please explain it to me. And Rav Moshe said, I'll explain it to you on one condition. I'll exchange one Chachma for another Chachma. You tell me, how do you know when you daven if people live or die? And the goy at first didn't want to agree. He told, he'd promised his family, there was a tradition, they can never reveal this. So he said, they meant you can't reveal it just for nothing. But if you're getting chachma for it, I'm sure it'd be okay. And he accepted his psak, and he agreed. He wanted to know this chachma, that exchange chachmas. So he told him, it's not so simple, though. You have to prepare beforehand. So he said, whatever you told me, I'm willing to do. He said, first, you have to fast for 2 days straight, 48 hours. And you have to make sure on those 2 days to do tshuva, repent any sins you've ever done. He says, no problem, he'll do it. So he fasts for the 2 days, and then he comes up to meet with this goy. The goy takes him to this place where he opens the gate to go in, and there's beautiful orchards there. They walk in these orchards, and they come to a spring. And next to that spring, there were sets of white clothing, and he said, we now have to immerse in the water. And they both do tefillah in the water, and they put on then this white clothing. Then he says, come with me, and he takes them to this magnificent palace. He opens the door, they go in, and one room is nicer than the other room. And he sees the goy now, his mum is trembling. His white in the face is trembling. The goy then goes down his knees, says, you have to go down. And he goes down, he's thinking, Shvisa Hashem Lenegdi, he's thinking, Rabbeinu Shloilam, he doesn't want to chas shomni avoy dezorah. And then they come to a room, and he says, in this room is the answer. He opens the room, they go in, and there's a curtain there. He pulls the curtain open, and behind there, he sees, this is it. I'll wait for you outside. He waits outside. The Yid sees there. There's a menorah. And on the menorah, the words, Shavisa Hashem Lenegdi Samad, is written there. So he comes out and he asks him, what did I see? What was I supposed to see? He says, you know what you just saw? Those words up there, one of those words up there, that is the name of the creator of the world. Nobody else knows this. This was passed down to me from my father, who got it from his father, got it from his father. And whenever there's somebody sick, they come to me. I prepare myself like this, and I come here and I pray. And when I pray here, that word over there, if it lights up, I know the person will live. And if it's dim, I know the person will die. Reb Moshe Galanta, he went home and he cried uncontrollably. He said, a goy understands how much preparation one needs to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And look how we daven. In Shulchan Aruch it says, Ilu hoyim edabel fnei bosa v'dom. If a person would daven in front of a regular person, and he would prepare what he has to say. How much more so for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? A friend of mine, he flew into New York from Chicago. He was delayed. So he found a minion factory to daven Shachris. He walked in the same time as another man. He put on his tefillin at the same time. He started davening, the man began schmoozing. And every time my friend looked up, the man was still in the middle of a schmooze. He finished davening, he took off his tefillin, and this other person was taking off his tefillin at the same time. So he said to him, Rabbi Yehuda, aren't you going to daven? He said, what do you mean? I came the same time as you. I finished. We look at such a person with disdain. How is it possible? But we can also improve. Doesn't it ever happen? The person benches, he doesn't even know if he said Ritzei. If someone asks you after Shema Esrei, you daven Shema Esrei this morning, do you actually remember if you said Oshiva Shefteinu? Do you know if you said it? So, you'll probably answer, I probably said it, because you go in automatic mode. It just goes. You don't have to think. It happens on its own. But do we actually remember saying the words? So step three is to focus more. I just heard just now, this week, there was a plane flying to Minneapolis, and it flew 150 miles past the mark. The pilots claim they were busy arguing with each other. They're going to check the flight boxes because they don't believe them. They believe they both dozed off. When you're up there in Shemayim, it's very important to focus. Step four is to realize, when we're davening, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kol Yochel. We have no koyach. We are totally dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The pasuk tells us regarding an almona, Ki tzoeg yitzek elai, an almona niyosom, when they cry out to me, Shemoya eshma tzakosom, I will listen to their cries. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu accept their tefillahs instantly? Obviously, there's a lesson we can learn from here. Their tefillahs get heard. What is it about their tefillahs? And the answer is very simple. There's a Maisa, Rabbi Yisrael Sokolov. Well, it wasn't really with him. He was a Talmud of the Vilna Gaon. His son-in-law was on a boat. And the ship sunk. And he was there with two children. and he started swimming for shore. They couldn't swim. And he was holding his two children as he swam. And he's swimming and swimming, and he feels he cannot go on any longer. His mum is out of breath, no koich is left. He tries, but it's impossible. So he realizes the weight is too much. The only way he can continue is if he lets go of one of his children. So he tells one of them, I have to let go of you. I cannot continue anymore. And this child of his looks at him in the eyes and says to him, how can you do this to me? Einli abo ela ata. You're the only father I have. How can you do it to me? And when his child said that, he felt so guilty. He felt his child was right. He can't do that. He has to hold on. And he found renewed strength. He kept going until finally he got to the shore. He was lying there on the beach, coughing up the water, exhausted. And after a minute or two, he got up. He went over to his child and he said to his child, let me tell you something. In life, there's going to be times when you have difficulties. You're going to wonder, how can you continue? All you have to do is look up to the Ribbono Shel'olam and say to him the way you said to me, Ein li abo ela ata, you're all I have, and you can be guaranteed, just like I listen to you, the Ribbono Shel'olam will listen to you. The Ramban could be what he's saying. He answers, why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu listen to an almona, to a yosem? Because other people, they feel they have ways on their own to do things. Of course, they need Siyata Dishmaya. They need HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help them. But basically, they can manage on their own. They need a little help. But a Yosem Almana, they understand the only one who can help them is the Ribbono Shel'olam. They look to the Ribbono Shel'olam and they say, Ein li abo ela ata. And that is why their tefillahs are answered. That is how we have to daven to realize we cannot do anything on our own. And the famous story, of course, you've all heard, but it's worth repeating again, of the person who has a major meeting in a corporation. And he can make a fortune of money from this meeting. He has a half-hour slot in order to say what he has to say. He arrives at the corporate headquarters, but there's nowhere to park. He drives in circles, and he realizes it's getting late. If he misses his appointment, it's all over. So he looks up to Shemayim and he says, Ribbono Shel'olam, please, let me find a place to park. Please, Ribbono Shel'olam, I'll give $10,000 to tzedakah. And he can't find a spot. Ribbono Shel'olam, please, I'll make sure I daven with a minyan every day. Still nothing. Ribbono Shel'olam, I'll start learning daf yomi, please. And at that very moment, right next to the entrance, mamish anis, a car pulls out and is able to get a parking spot. He's so happy he parks there. He gets out of his car. He looks up to Shemayim and he says, thanks anyway, but I found one on my own. How many times in life do we think we do things on our own? Moshe Rabbeinu says to Klal Yisrael, Anoichi Oimei Bein Hashem Bein Eichem. I'm a go-between. I'm standing between Hashem and between you. But there's another way of understanding the Pasuk. Anoichi Oimei. That Anoichi, that ego, that zich, the Anoichi, that's Oimei. That's a barrier. Bein Hashem Bein Eichem. As long as you think of that I, you can do it. That is a barrier between you and Hashem. We all want our tefillahs answered. David HaMelech tells us how. Korev Hashem L'chol Korev. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is close to us. L'chola she'ekru be'emes. You have to call out to him be'emes. What does it mean be'emes in truth? And I think be'emes means to recognize the truth. That it's only the Ribbono Shel'olam who can do it. That we cannot do it without Borei Olam. And that is the fourth step in tefillah, is to recognize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is kol yochel. The fifth and final step seems rather strange. The Magen Avraham quotes the Arizal that before davening, one should be mekabel on himself, before one davens shachris, the mitzvah of v'ahavta l'reicha kamoicho. Why now? Why before davening? It would seem to make more sense. You finish davening. You're going down to breakfast and you're going to fight who's going to get eggs first. Then you should be mekabel yourself. You're going home to your family you're going to have to deal with. Why is it before davening? This is a story of two brothers. One was rich and one was poor. And the poor brother was making a chasna. He had no way of getting the funds together. So he goes to his rich brother's business and is going to ask him to help. And when he comes to the business, the secretary asks him, what can I do for you? He says he wants to see the president of the company. Who should I say is here? He says, tell him his brother's here. So she goes in and says, your brother's here to see you. So he thinks to himself, what does my brother want from me? I know what he wants. He wants money. He's making a wedding. He probably wants money. Go and tell him I don't have any brothers at all. So she goes back and says, he says he doesn't know what you're talking about. He has no brothers. So this man goes home. On the way home, he stops off by his father's house. And he's very tzabrach, he's brokenhearted. And he tells his father what happened. The next time, the rich brother comes to visit the father goes to the door, to answer the door. And he says to him, he says to this rich brother, who are you? He says, what do you mean? I'm your son. He says, I don't recognize you. He says, what are you talking about? He says, I don't know who you are. He says, Tati, you're not that old yet. He says, no, I don't know what you, I just don't recognize. He says, it can't be. He says, listen, I have a son. And that son tells me you said that you're not his brother. If you're not his brother, you can't be my son. We come to the Ribbono Shel Olam davening. We say to him, Avinu Avrachamon. We want him to have Rachmanis like a father. We say, Avinu Malkeinu. We keep referring to the Ribbono Shel Olam as a father. And the Ribbono Shel Olam looks at us and says, one second, if you look at me as a father, everybody in Klal Yisrael does, then every Yid has to be your brother. If you don't look at as every Yid as your brother, you can't call me your father. And that is why before we daven, we have to mekabel that every Yid is our brother and mekabel the mitzvah of Ahavta Re'echa Kamoicha. On Monday and Thursday, after laning, we say a bunch of Yirat Saints. We daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu important things. But the last one we say is Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael. How come Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael doesn't begin such an important tefillah? Why don't we begin with Yirat Saint? Maybe the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There we leave out the words Yirat Saint. And the answer is, because we don't need to say Yirat Zayin. Because as long as we begin the tefillah with the words, Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, once we're looking at every year as our brother, automatically we can be guaranteed that it will be the will of our Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that means when a person is davening, it's important. You have personal requests, but not to daven just for yourself. Whatever you need in life, there are other people who need that as well. To have in mind Gans Klal Yisrael, to daven for yourself at the same time to include other people who need what you need. There's a story of a person, a student came to take a test, and he starts to, they're told before the test that everybody, when they take this test, has to realize you have 3 hours exactly. Once the test is over, the bell will ring. And when that bell rings, you've got to stop writing. You're in the middle of the word, you have to stop writing. If you write, you continue for a second longer, you're disqualified. And right away, you come up and bring your papers. They take the test, 3 hours goes by, the bell rings. Everybody stops instantly. But there's one person who keeps writing. And this professor is watching him. The people keep handing in the papers, and he keeps writing. And he writes for 2 minutes, he's still writing. When everybody's given in the papers, he finishes. He goes up to the professor to give in his paper. Professor says, it's okay, I don't need your paper. I'm not accepting it. He says, you're not accepting my paper? Do you know who I am? He says, I have no idea who you are. He says, you're serious? You don't know who I am? He says, I don't know and I don't care. He says, for real? You don't know who I am? He says, I told you for the last time, I don't know and I don't care. He says, great. And he sticks his paper in the middle of the pile and he runs out the room. When you're together with other people, you put your paper in the middle of the pile. You don't get noticed so much. The whole pile goes through together. Your tefillahs can go through with Klal Yisrael's tefillahs. You're part of Klal Yisrael. And when you daven for Klal Yisrael, it goes through, it's guaranteed to help your tefillahs get through. Your tefillahs blend with Klal Yisrael's tefillahs. So before we daven, we have to remember, before we even get to the davening, 5 steps of preparation. Number one, what is tefillah? Tefillah is dveikus b'Hashem, to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. 2, even personal requests, focus on the Shem Shemayim. How can the Ribbono Shel Olam benefit from what your requests are? Number 3, focus on the tefillah, remove other thoughts and concerns. Number 4, to realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu controls everything. We have no power. We're totally dependent on Borei Olam. And the last one, number 5, Avas Yisrael, daven for every Yid, not just for ourselves. The highest level of closeness, higher than tefillah itself, is Bechias to cry. Why is that? The gates of tefillah are sometimes closed, but not the gates of tears. Why is that? Because when somebody goes to a chasna, and I'm sure you'll remember this from the chasna you went to, you can't tell who the close relatives are. There are people at the chasna you went to who weren't even sure who the chasna was. They found out probably at the chasna. And they're dancing Leibedik. You would think they were the brother of the chasna. They're enjoying it the same as everybody else. And you might ask, wow, look at the way that person's dancing. Is he the brother of the chasna? Nah, he's just a friend. How about that person? He must be related. No, he never met the chasna in his life before. Well, people enjoy a chasna. At a chasna, you can't tell who the close relatives are. But when one goes to Levi Rachman Islam, then it's very obvious who the close relatives are. When you see somebody crying uncontrollably, you know he is a close relative. Nothing demonstrates closeness more than Bechir. That is why Shari Tefillah could be closed, but Shari Demois are never closed, because it comes from the depth of the heart. The gematria of Bechir is Lev, because Lev, that is what you have to do to get your tefillahs answered. When the Meraglim returned, Klai Yisrael cried a Bechir Lechinam, and they were punished with a Bechir Ledoiris. Why? Sounds a little overdone. Because they cried for nothing, so you get the Churban HaBayis too? A Churban HaBayis because they cry for nothing. The reason they were punished so harshly is Bechir. Bechir is so powerful, cries when it's misused. It's like a surgeon using his scalpel to engrave his name on a tree. The Bechir L'doiris are cries for a real sorrow. And those cries lead to cries of tshuva, which lead to cries of tefillah, until Mitzvah Shem was zeich to the Gula, which Yirmiyahu HaNavi writes about it, Bivchi Yavoyu, which the Radak explains, will come with tears of joy. If we work on improving our tefillah through these five steps of preparation, will Mitzvah Shem be zeich to Bivchi Yavoyu, with the Gula Shlema, B'mehir V'yameinu, Amen.